Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? It's Wednesday, 5 p.m. Time for American Hit Radio.
Make sure you don't have a loose screw now.
Oh, yeah. That last week in the middle of the show, my microphone just sort of like fell to the table. And I'm sure I do have a screw loose. Hopefully not one to fall to the table, though. Well, we lost one of the last true legends of the blues last week. I'm sure music fans heard that we had lost first Ben E. King and then just a short while later, B.B. King. B.B. King, I would have to say, really is the last living legend of the blues. I mean, nobody else who is left alive goes back as far as he did. I mean, the man was almost 90 years old. Nobody else who was left can say that they grew up as a sharecropper. And, you know, nobody has a playlist that's even one third or maybe even a one quarter as long as his output has been since he started recording. How many living guitarists are there that could claim to be more legendary? Is there anybody out there that would be foolish enough to say it out loud?
Really?
You know, B.B. King was an institution. We're never going to see the likes of him again. And about 2 years ago, Heidi and I were lucky enough to for me, it was my first, and unfortunately my last now, B.B. King show, seeing him live in New Orleans a couple years back. At the time, you know, you could see that he was starting to show his age. I mean, the man was 87 years old. So, yeah, he sat down for most of the set. And his singing sort of lacked that congenial roar of his, that powerhouse roar that he was capable of. Although he still sounded great. And I remember I made a sort of like a wisecrack to a friend saying something like, you know, give the guy a break. You know, first of all, you know, he's over 85 years old, and this is probably his 10,000th live performance. You know, I said that number at the time thinking it was funny, thinking I was exaggerating it. You know, how could that even be real? But now that he passed, thinking back on that comment, I actually realized that I probably underestimated how many times that man has played live, you know, his live output.
Right.
I mean, he was a notorious road warrior. There were shows where he's been, like, known to play over 300 shows in 1 year.
That's insane.
Right, in 1 year. So if you figure that he averaged 200 shows a year, and that's, like, probably
that's
a low average.
Something.
And you take that, and you figure that he's been playing steadily since 1950, that means that I was, like, way low.
Oh, boy.
I might have only had like
two thirds. You thought you were exaggerating and you were lowballing.
Yeah, it might have been his 15,000th show.
Wow.
You know, how does anybody compete with that? It's just incredible. So hopefully sometime in the very near future, we will feature a How Music Changed series. We'll dedicate it to B.B. King and we'll do it right. In the very beginning, when we started the How Music Changed series, I don't know if anybody goes back that far, those 6 or 7 years ago, I believe, maybe more. Whatever it was, when we really started the whole thing, we were originally just giving one show to a topic. And I remember that one of the early topics on the How Music Changed series, one of the first ones we did a show called We Three Kings. And it was on Albert King, Benny King, and the other king from, drawing a blank. And it doesn't matter. It was not B.B.,
right.
I figured, okay, you know, I can cover these other three guitarists, but BB's going to get his own show. He's going to get his own. There's no doubt about it. And of course, you know, looking back on those shows then that we did then, first of all, they were really manic, trying to get in as much information as possible in 1 hour. And we decided to relax it a little bit and not worry if we did multiple shows. And that shows because we were able to do like 70 shows for Motown and 71 shows for the Beatles and such. You know,
yeah, just relax, dude.
Can you imagine trying to do like one show on the Beatles, for example? You know, would have been ridiculous, hysterical.
Right.
So we will get to B.B. King and we'll do it right when it comes along. But under the circumstances, I really just want to pay tribute to really the end of a phenomenal era, a century really of blues music. And B.B. King is so responsible for retaining its vitality and its relevance all this time. So let's go back to the to really very, very near the beginning of his career. Let's go back around. He started recording, I believe, in the late 40s. This is one of the first tracks that he put out back around that time. I think this dates back to around 1951 or 1952. This song is called Please Love Me. Track is called Please Love Me, one of the earlier tracks released by B.B. King. You can feel already the vitality in the man, the power of the blues and what he's doing, and the relevance of what he was doing back then and what made it so contagious. B.B. King wasn't, you can't say that he was a Chicago blues guy. You can't say, he was a blues guy, the blues guy, really. It's kind of what it came down to. Let's play a track that I think everybody associates with him. Goes all the way back to 1955, though, I believe. This is the first recorded version that B.B. King had done. A song written by a man named Peter Chatman. It's called Every Day I Have a Blues.
Care. Oh, no day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day I'm blue. When you see me worrying, baby,
we have, let's see, what did we play? We played Every Day I Have the Blues and Rock Me Baby by B.B. King, of course. Dedicating our show to B.B. King, some of the fabulous output that he had. And it's just crazy. All these songs so far that we played predate my birth. And I'm an old man.
Not yet.
So it's cool to hear some of the stuff that he had gotten himself into. I'm like, check out this next track. I don't know if anybody would recognize that back in 1961, he was actually able to record with the Duke Ellington Orchestra.
Wow.
That's a pretty cool thing to do back in 61. Here's B.B. King performing a track that was actually written by Duke Ellington with Bob Bressel. Together, here they are with Don't Get Around Much Anymore.
Man!
Saturday dance. I heard they crowded the floor. It's awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore. I thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. I just couldn't bear it without you. I don't get around much anymore. Darling, I guess my mind is more at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on dates, I might have gone, but what for? I just couldn't bear it without you. I don't get around much anymore.
Awesome is that?
Yeah, that's a great song. I guess it was covered by a few different people, though.
Well, yeah, of course. There's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of versions of it. But the thing is, like, you know, B.B. King plays it like he owns it. Sounds great with the orchestra.
Yeah.
And it's just cool because it gives this, it fattens out the man's image. I think a lot of people just think of B.B. King as this guy that plays single note leads on a lot of, you know, blues tracks, and there's so much more to him. I mean, he was a great singer, as well as a great guitar player.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing with Duke Ellington obviously is quite a privilege, but fairly awesome right there. Dedicating our show today to B.B. King, trying to bounce around and see if I can find tracks. I'm doing this completely on the fly, to be honest with you, 100%, because I'm just trying to find things that I considered highlights. And let's play this track, which is one of the things that I actually recorded in New York City. We're around 1963, chronologically now. This is around the time that he had his own, fairly, not a big band, but a big enough band. He had a good amount of brass in back of him. This was back when you could release blues singles and maybe get them to sell a little bit. One of my favorite B.B. King songs, credited to Leonard Feather, interestingly, the jazz writer. For writing this song called How Blue Can You Get?
Yeah. you a brand new Ford. You said I want a Cadillac. I bought you a $10 dinner. You said thanks for the snack. I let you live in my penthouse. You said it was just a shack. I gave you 7 children. And now you want to give them back.
How blue can you get? Pretty blue now that we lost B.B. King.
Yeah.
I really wonder about the state of the blues, to be honest. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that are, you know, trying to keep it alive. But it's sort of like, I'm afraid it's going to go like the way that a lot of jazz did, in that it did the exact opposite of what jazz did, in a sense, but with the same fate. Like, jazz changed itself so much that it got so busy and complex that it lost its main audience and went from being popular music to being elitist music. Blues, on the other hand, stayed the same while tastes changed all around it, and eventually the very people that popularized it, meaning American black culture, abandoned it for the next thing, which was R&B, which then moved on to wherever, you know, obviously wherever we're at today, and left in the hands of, like, the purveyors of what they consider to be pure blues, like the way there's people like who love pure jazz, and they go back to Dixieland jazz, and it ends up being not a joke, but it's an imitation of the real thing. And I'm not trying to insult modern contemporary blues players at all. It's the last thing I'm trying to do. It's just that it's really hard to play the blues with any real integrity without being redundant these days. It takes a bit of a miracle. You got to be good to do that. And B.B. King was one of those miracles. He was one of the people that could pull that off like nobody's business. If you remember, if you were listening to this show regularly on Wednesdays, you'll know that recently we started a series which we called How Music Changed. And in that, I'm sorry, which we called The Alternative Top 40, where what we did was we picked 500 albums, arranged them chronologically, starting in 1964, albums that never made the top 40, but we consider to be among the most important albums that have been released, and that they'd, you know, we have an essay and we try to play the entire album, trying to basically make an argument for why these albums are so fantastic. Well, the sixth album in our series was a B.B. King album, Live at the Regal. We did that show maybe 2 months ago. And it was great fun because it's such a great live album. I mean, the audience is almost a part of the show and you hear.
Yeah, that's incredible, the energy.
Yeah, you hear the vitality of B.B. King and the connection that he's making with his core audience, recorded live in Chicago at the Regal Theater. It's a pretty awesome show. So let's take one of the tracks that we played when we did that Alternative Top 40 show for the album Live at the Regal by B.B. King, released in 1965. Here's a track called Sweet Little Angel.
Thank you. I love the way she spread her wings. Y'all's got a sweet little angel. I love the way she spread her wings.
There you go. Of course, from that great live album, Live at the Regal.
How could I forget that one?
Yeah. Check out that series if you can, by the way. Not to get off topic, but it's one of my favorite things I've done since I've been on the radio is setting up that alternative top 40 listing. I think we've gotten 19 albums that we've covered so far, a total of 19. And it's great fun to be able to play entire albums and really do nothing but, you know, talk about how great they are and why they were overlooked in their time and why they should no longer be overlooked. And if you were listening, that's just it. You get turned on to things like an album like that B.B. King album that you might not be familiar with. And I promise you, I mean, if you're going to start with that's a great place to start.
You'll not regret it.
Right. I mean, that really is one of the best B.B. King albums ever, one of the best live blues albums ever. So check it out. As a singles artist, this is, when did this single come out? This goes to 1966. I remember loving this song as well from B.B. King from around that time. He wrote this one himself. This is called Think It Over. You know, it's really funny. I totally forgot that I was in my old band used to play that song live.
Yes.
So long ago, I can't even remember what the exact personnel was, but it was like, I think it was maybe 10 years ago. I loved playing that song.
Yes,
it was
you
just
did.
So fun and had a great groove. Obviously, it's like, it's not unlike, say, like you would get if you were going to be doing like an Allman Brothers song, but it's got a cooler riff and a slight time shift in the way that B.B. King played it that made it so awesome and fun and slinky.
Good
so
times.
Much. I mean, understand what we're doing right now. I'm cramming in a tiny, 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 tiny piece of his output into 1 hour. And we're going to do this proper sometime in the future in the How Music Changed series, which we do on Friday. If you're listening on Fridays right now, we're in the middle of a bunch of shows dedicated to Stax Records. Part 5 is coming up this Friday.
So good.
So hope you can tune in for that because it's a whole lot of fun. I'm having a hard time figuring out what songs to not play because there's so much cool stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
which is why I got to play this track too. It's so weird. I'm reading, and this came out on a box set called the Definitive B.B. King Collection. Came out, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a bit more. But the notes just say that this is previously unreleased, and this is like a what moment? like really?
How'd that happen?
I kind of understand that. I mean, this is another one of those songs that I believe I know really well, and I can't believe that it was like an unreleased track. Let's find out why. This is called Going Down Slow.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, right here. Right here, I'd like to tell you a little story. This is about a country boy from down home. This young man have never been north before. I want you to listen to me now. I've got something to tell you. He heard about Chicago. He worked hard all the year, made all of that money, $800. After he gathered his crop, he called his cousin in Chicago. And he said, "Cousin, I'm on my way." He'd picked all of that cotton. I said, "This is about a country boy like myself, B.B. King, you know." So when he get to Chicago, his cousin meet him and bring him out to the club. He said, "Set him up. Cuz is paying for it." Had all the go-go girls sitting out waiting on him. They carried him downtown and put him up in one of the plush hotels. They brought him back out and said, "Set him up. Cuz is paying for it." His money got a little lighter. They moved him out from the Loop and brought him down to Roberts. And then he said, "Set him up, cuz is paying for it." And then the $800, being more money than my man had ever had, began to run out. Then they moved him out and put him down to the Persian. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the go-go girls was getting fewer. His friends was fewer. All his buddies had started passing him on the other side of the street. And then it happened, all his money was gone. And my man only knew one thing to do. It was getting cold then, like it is today. You know what I'm talking about. He went down to the railroad yard. And one of the few ladies that had helped him to spend his money came by to see him. And she said, "You fool. You fool. I wouldn't have spent your money, but the rest of them was spending your money, so I decided to spend my portion too, you know." But ladies, God bless them, wonderful something, aren't they? They always like to feel like they're needed. And she knew my man needed a bath. He'd gotten sick. He's laying down there under the boxcar. Couldn't read so well. So you know, if he couldn't read so well, he couldn't write too well. You know what I'm talking about? So this is a letter back down home. I know what I'm talking about. It go like this. "I've had my fun. What if I don't get well no more? Well, I've had my fun, people. What if I don't get well no more? Yeah, you know my health is failing on me now. Oh, and I'm going down slow.
fantastic.
That's some pipes.
No, I know why. I mean, yeah, I knew, remember the studio version of that, but I'm looking at my own. See, on my iTunes, I got an insane number of songs. I think I've got about 80,000 songs on my iTunes, and which I guess only, you know. With
Don't
me.
Advertise your insanity.
But I not only do I have that many, but I rate every single one of them from 1 to 5 stars because iTunes lets you do that. And I noticed this track, I rated it 5 stars. And I'm saying, oh, it's because it's that. Now I'm hearing it, I'm like, oh, that's an awesome live version of that thing. I probably hadn't played it in a number of years. So I'm like, well, there you go. This pays to rate them, you know? It brings you back to the hot spots. That's definitely
all your
one.
Work is paying off, baby.
To think that that track went unreleased until that box set, that's pretty awesome. So, yeah. I mean, that's just how deep this man's career goes. Boy, B.B. King. 89 years, and most of them on the road, playing live.
Wow.
And, you know, recording studios, of course, from time to time. Some of the most incredible collection of music done by any human being that ever was born in the United States of America. Here's a hit single that he put out in the mid-60s. I think I had this included in my book, American Hit Radio. It was one of the favorite hits. This is called Paying the Cost to Be the Boss.
You act like you don't wanna listen when I'm talking to you. You think you oughta do, baby, anything you wanna do. You must be crazy, baby. You just gotta be out of your mind. As long as I'm paying the bill, woman, I'm paying the cost to be the boss. I'll drink if I wanna and play a little poker too. Don't you say nothing to me, as long as I'm taking care of you, as long as I'm working, baby, and paying all the bills. I don't want no mouth from you about the way I'm supposed to live. You must be crazy, woman. Just gotta be out of your mind. As long as I'm putting the bill and paying the cost to be the boss. Me, you act like you ashamed. You don't act like my woman. You're just using my name. I tell you, I'm gonna have all the money, and I don't want no back talk. Cause if you don't like the way I'm doing, just pick up your things and walk. You gotta be crazy, babe. Oh, you must be out of your mind. As long as I'm paying the bill, I'm paying the cost to be the boss.
Cool thing about B.B. King and the way that he played the blues isn't just that he was a great guitar player and a great singer. He gets you emotionally involved in what he's doing.
Yeah.
You somehow go deeper than the fact that it's just a blues track. He really is, he's a good actor, really. That's what comes down to.
His storytelling skills are
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And he imbues every performance as though he is that guy. You believe him. You know, whether or not it's 100% true. I mean, he really pulls it off. And that's why he was getting hits in the middle of the psychedelic era. That's when that song came out. Right. Same thing with this next one. This track came out. It was recorded in June of 1969. The Beatles were still together. The Beatles were working on Abbey Road, about to put it out, when he released this track on 45. It's called The Thrill Is Gone. Thank you. Well, we just about ate up this hour, and I just want to wrap up with a couple of thoughts that are running around in my head. I know I'm the type of person that's prone to hyperbole. That being said, though, I honestly can't think if there is another human being who did as much to preserve the integrity of the blues as much as B.B. King. I think he is really the single most important person of the genre in terms of like being able to keep it alive and maintain its dignity and its power and its grace without watering it down.
I don't think he could have had a club like his in Manhattan had that not been the case, for
yeah,
instance.
Well, yeah. That's one example out of thousands, really, you know? I mean, he never compromised the blues.
That's right.
Which is so stunning. Check. I found this out. This is like a good way to wrap it up. In the year 1965, it might have been 1966, there was a magazine called Hit Parader, one of those really, you know, things about pop music, a rag about pop music. And they did a feature on B.B. King then in 1965, in the mid-60s. And the last sentence of the article, when they're finally wrapping up all the things that he had done in his life up until that point in time, from 1949 until 1966, they closed by asking a question. The question was, who will fill his shoes when he's gone? It took another 50 years to find out. And we knew the answer back in the mid-60s. We knew then that there was nobody to fill his shoes. The guy stayed around for another 50 years.
He had to.
And did it for himself and for the rest of us. You know, got to love the man for it. And, you know, the blues has got nothing but integrity because of what he had done.
Thank you, B.B.
Yeah, just total, flat-out, unbelievable respect to B.B. King. And like I said, we'll come back. I don't know when it's going to happen and how Music Changed series, you know, fall and where, you know, when we'll get around to it. But we will. We definitely will. And to the late, great B.B. King. We'll close with this song that everybody associates with him because it's the name of his guitar and it's the song that was probably the most requested in his set. A really cool, we'll go out with a live version of the song, Lucille. Take care, everybody.
You'll be missed.
The sound that you're listening to is from my guitar that's named Lucille. I'm very crazy about Lucille. Lucille took me from the plantation. Oh, and you might say, brought me fame. I don't think I could just talk enough about Lucille. Sometime when I'm blue, seem like Lucille try to help me call my name. I used to sing spirituals and I thought that this was the thing that I wanted to do. But somehow or other, when I went in the army, I picked up on Lucille, started singing the blues. Now when I'm paying my dues, maybe you don't know what I mean when I say paying dues. I mean when things are bad with me. I can always, you know, depend on Lucille. Sort of hard to talk to you myself. I guess I'll let Lucille say a few words and then
doubt if you can feel it like I do. But when I think about the things that I've gone through, like, well, for instance, if I have a girlfriend and she misuses me, and I go home at night, maybe I'm lonely. Well, not maybe, I am lonely. I pick up Lucille, and it bring out those funny sounds that sound good to me, you know. Sometimes I get to a place where I can't even say nothing. Look out. Sometimes I think it's crying. If I could sing pop tunes like Frank Sinatra or Sammy Davis Jr., I don't think I still could do it. But Lucille don't want to play nothing but the blues. And I think I'm pretty glad about that. Because don't nobody sing to me like Lucille. Sing, Lucille. Put it like this. Take it easy, Lucille. I like the way Sammy sings, and I like the way Frank sings. But I can get a little Frank, Sammy, little Ray Charles. In fact, all the people with soul in this. Jackson in there.